From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A new report by the Pew Research Center has concluded that Latino voters are more engaged this midterm election than they were 4 years ago, but challenges remain in voter engagement within the community. More than 29 million people of Hispanic origin are eligible to vote during this election, according to the report. That's an unprecedented number, 4 million more than the 2014 midterms. Over the weekend, a number of well-known Latina actresses, including America Ferrera, Eva Longoria, Zoe Saldana, Rosario Dawson, and Gina Rodriguez, held a major Get Out the Vote rally in Miami, Florida, aimed at Latino voters.
We have got to step outside of the lines and the boxes and the labels that keep us from each other.
I'll hold your hand.
Thanks, man.
I'll just see you work, right?
Yeah.
Look behind you, guys. Behind you.
I'm really concerned about the welfare of access to schooling, access to health care, immigration rights, civil rights, women's rights, voting rights. I think all of that is way more important than my brand.
You know, I could watch the rhetoric that's going on and the anger and the violence that's being spewed from people's mouths and actions and want to sit it out. You know, it's so disgusting and it's so disenchanting and disheartening. But I have a 15-year-old and I want her to, you know, she doesn't listen, she emulates. And if mom sits this one out, what is that really conveying to her?
I think it is our duty to find our similarities, which are our great strengths, bind them together and use them as one voice to speak to our American public about the importance of representation, accurate representation.
I vote as an American, and I'm out here rallying my fellow Americans to get out their vote, because when we show up, our democracy will work better for us. And there are too many of us who don't feel seen and represented by the people who are making decisions about our lives. And that needs to change.
Go out of the way.
And that's a clip from the weekend Get Out the Vote rally in Miami, Florida, featuring a number of well-known Latina actresses. How will Latino voters and candidates change the face of U.S. politics during these midterm elections? Joining me now from Arizona is Alejandra Gomez, co-executive director of the group LUCHA, which stands for Living United for Change in Arizona. Welcome to the program, Alejandra.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here on the program.
Thank you very much for joining us. So before we go to the broader question of how Latino voters and candidates might be shifting politics, let's fixate on Arizona. This is one of several states like Texas, like Florida, like California, where Latino voters play an outsized role. And your organization, I understand, has been engaged in these very important Get Out the Vote sort of rallies and campaigning. What are the challenges that you face to help Latino voters get to the polls this election?
So this election actually is a long time coming. The energy that we have seen from young people have been voting at record numbers. Women have been voting at record numbers, and Latinos have surpassed our 2014 goals of turnout. And I think for us, so 2010, because of those attacks, our community got politically engaged. And those young people that were 10 years old during the attacks on our community with the racial profiling law and the rogue sheriff Arpaio are now 18 and they're voting. And so for us, the challenge that we have had in Arizona is that our communities had been left out of the political process. And we started a campaign as LUCHA with other partners in coalition called the Mi AZ campaign that said, we are going to make sure that we continue to center our communities, that we can continue to center youth, immigrants, Latinos, POC, to be engaged and participate in the electoral process, because the attacks have been constant on our community, not only locally, but across the country, as we have seen this administration.
So the challenges are even greater. And just going back to what you were saying with the 2010, you're referring to the Sensenbrenner bill?
I'm referring to SB 1070. It was a show me your papers law.
Yeah.
And Jan Brewer, Russell Pierce, the then Senate president, enacted this policy that allowed for the police to come after our families and separate and deport people. And that was the most vile act of hatred and violence toward a community. But really what came out of those ashes were empowered community that acted even under fear to actually start getting engaged in the political process and saying, you're not going to attack our families anymore and get away with it. And so since then, in 2016, because of the organizing and the fact that we centered our communities and didn't stop talking to our moms, our youth, refugee people, workers, working poor, we were able to see that in 2016, we created a campaign that took out our PIO, the person that was going directly after our families, that we were able to increase the minimum wage. And we were able to get a new county recorder that no longer did the heinous voter suppression tactics that for too long were happening in Arizona.
So how engaged are voters in Arizona right now? You mentioned a lot of young people are voting. Are you seeing early voting in a pretty big way among Latino voters in particular in Arizona? And what are some of the concerns that they're seeing? Are they seeing their act of voting as a pushback against Trump and Trumpism?
Absolutely. After the election in 2016, our families asked us, how did we get here? How did this happen? In Arizona, we had so many wins, but across the nation, a person that has attacked our communities and made his whole campaign about going after communities of color and policing us, deporting us, won. And so we answered that call and we said, let's have a conversation about that. Let's talk about capitalism. Let's talk about the neoliberalist agenda. Let's talk about the fact that misogyny is at, like, in every single conversation, what we saw with Kavanaugh. And those are the conversations that our families are having at the door. Our families are well aware of the hatred and violence and the division that this administration has caused. And that not only is it motivating our communities, but they're saying that they're going to stay engaged past November 6th because they know that it is about November 6th and showing up at the polls, but it's about staying engaged and holding our elected officials accountable.
Tell us about the gubernatorial race taking place in Arizona. You have a Latino candidate, David Garcia, facing off against an incumbent, Doug Ducey. Ducey was being praised for having the only Spanish language ad for any candidate in Arizona. What are the stakes in that race?
The stakes are really high. And what should have been a landslide win for the Republicans, because they have spent 50-1 in this election, throwing all of the money they can at their candidate Ducey, that failed our educators, failed communities of color, that failed the workers and the people of Arizona, and frankly failed women. What we have seen is that the future governor of Arizona, David Garcia, has been able to stay competitive. And the community is excited that it's a candidate that's for us, by us, that's a worker. His father was a painter. He's a professor and he cares about education and he's talking about the issues and he's talking about corruption. For far too long, the Arizona state legislature and the governor's tower has been inaccessible for our people. But what we're saying is that when Garcia wins, we actually are going into that governor's tower with him. And it's going to be a co-governing agenda. And we're going to talk about the issues that really matter for community. And we're really excited to be in community and supporting each other across the nation with the Beto race happening in Texas, Gillum in Florida and Stacey Abrams in Georgia. It really is a testament to communities of color that are banding together across the country to stop the agenda of hate and the violence that we're seeing.
Alejandra, there's also a big Senate race in Arizona over the seat being vacated by Jeff Flake. You have two female candidates running, Martha McSally versus Kyrsten Sinema. Where do Latino voters fall on that race? Neither of the candidates being Latino, but certainly representing that Democrat-Republican divide nationwide.
Latinos are not a one-issue community, right? Like we are often put in an immigration box, and our communities care about education. Our communities care about healthcare, and they have seen what Martha McSally is trying to do.
She's the Republican candidate.
Correct, with taking away pre-existing conditions to be covered. And our communities are talking about that. That's the other number one issue for our people, being able to take care of their moms, being able to take care of their children and make sure that we're not one medical expense away from going bankrupt or being homeless. And so for us, being able to support someone like Sinema is of utmost importance, especially after what we saw with the Kavanaugh decision. Women are also under attack under this administration. And if there's anything that we know about the Latino community is that our moms are like the queens of the house and they rule and that we need to protect them.
You mentioned the issue of immigration. While, of course, it is not the central or only issue that motivates Latino voters, President Trump and Republicans, to an extent as a whole, have conflated immigrants, refugees, particularly of Latin American origin, with Latino Americans. And, of course, there are plenty of mixed status families in the U.S. And Trump has, in particular, of course, demonized the caravan of refugees originating from central Mexico that are still about 1,000 miles away from the U.S. border to whip up a frenzy among his own base and drive them to the polls. Do Latino voters, at least in Arizona, see that, take that personally, see that as a very, as Obama called it this weekend, as a political stunt?
Absolutely. What is happening with our brothers and sisters that are looking for a place for their children? I think we're all experiencing the fact that, like, our families came to this country for a better life. I know my father came here to be able to provide for me. He was undocumented under Prop 187 in California, which was exactly the same as SB 1070 years later in California. And our communities are paying attention and they're outraged and they're voting and they're making their voices heard. And this nation was founded on the backs of immigrant communities that came for a better life for their families and for a presidency to shut the doors and to turn people away has just been the most heinous expression of dehumanizing that we have seen. And also, it also speaks to what's been happening for years under the Republican Party, under the Reagan administration and others, where they're using the same vile fear tactics to create pandemonium within their base voters. And create and illustrate and paint an idea of who immigrants are.
And some people have linked Trump's anti-immigrant rhetoric as a driver for the mass murder of 11 people at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, because he seemed to be motivated by hatred against Jewish Americans who were engaged in helping refugees come to the United States or resettle in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Since his campaigning for president, this administration, all they have done is create fear and create otherness and fuel division and spread lies about people for their own political gain. But the communities here in Arizona that we are engaging are talking about a future that is one of being able to enhance the education system so that children could do better in their future, better than the parents did.
Alejandra, you mentioned, of course, that Latinos are not a monolithic community politically. They're also not a monolithic community racially. There's a lot of religious diversity, there's a lot of diversity of ethnic and national origin. You have Puerto Ricans, you have Cuban Americans, you've got Mexican Americans, you've got people who are just becoming naturalized and new voters, and people whose ancestors have been here when the border crossed them. So it's a very large diversity. You have Afro-Latinos, you have white Latinos. So do you see, you also, of course, have Latinos for Trump. There are, unfortunately, Latino Americans who put their weight behind Donald Trump. Do we run the risk of trying to pigeonhole Latino voters and trying to predict where their votes will go? Is there any sort of guiding principle that the majority of Latino voters are tending towards?
Absolutely. Our communities are sick of the attacks, and they are absolutely fed up with the corruption, with seeing the top earners, the top 1%, getting the upper hand, and our families getting the short end. And if there's anything to be said about this election, is that our communities are saying enough. And our communities are saying that we do not uphold violence in any way. And we're actually standing together, not only as Arizonans, but we're standing together with the Florida, with Georgia, and with Texas to make sure that we send a clear message across the country that these attacks will not be permitted anymore.
We've talked a lot about Latino voters, but what about Latino candidates? You have people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York, and you know, number of other candidates running for office. We mentioned David Garcia running for governor in Arizona. Are you heartened by the number of Latinos that have also simply done the hard work of trying to run for office? Or could the community be doing better on the issue of, you know, just being a candidate?
I'm absolutely heartened. We have such powerful women of color at the legislature now. Arizona has 24 women of color legislators, and we are expecting a slew more. We in Arizona had a historic number of women in every single district now run for office. And so this year was a really exciting year because not only did people of color run in historic numbers, but women ran in historic numbers. And we're directly responding to the attacks on women, on people of color, on the marginalized communities that for far too long were left in the margins. But now we're saying that we are actually going to center our voices, center our communities, and speak them loud and get representatives that actually care about our communities, about leading with the issues that matter: education, healthcare, housing, that under these corrupt systems, under this administration, and under the Arizona corruption that currently exists under Ducey, that we can actually put an end to all of that.
Do you think that this particular election, with 4 million more Latino voters than last election, 2014, 29 million total eligible to vote, that this is absolutely going to change the face of U.S. politics? And in many ways, this is exactly what the Steve Bannons and the Stephen Millers and the Donald Trumps are afraid of, right?
Absolutely. This election, and actually as we have been leading up to this election, we have seen that the Latino vote share, POC vote share, has been increasing. And this year, we showed that in a midterm and under these attacks, our community shows up, and we exceeded by over 50% already 2014 Latino vote share turnout, and it's not even election day yet. So we're sending a clear message that our communities will not be left out of the political process any longer, and that our communities must be invested in, and that our issues matter.
On election day itself, what is your message to those members of Congress and those people in the Trump administration about Latinos and Latino voters? You and I are speaking Monday. Many of our audience will hear this on Tuesday as they get ready to vote. I mentioned there are some challenges when it comes to voter engagement in the Latino community. Voter turnout as a percentage has not always been high enough in that community because, of course, you know, you have to inspire voters to show up, and wealthier people are more likely to show up because they have the means to take time off of work and not have to worry about transportation, etc. So what is your message on election day?
Our message on election day is that we need to get out. Voting is easy. We can vote in community and have conversations with your neighbors, have conversations with your family, get your family on a text thread like I did, and ask them every single day what their plan is. We are sending a clear message. We're already voting in historic numbers, and Election Day is just the beginning. The work continues, and we have to make sure that we not only cast our ballot, but we make those calls after Election Day to send that message to Washington and our elected officials here in the state that we want policies that move our communities forward, not create division and hate.
Well, Alejandra, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for your organization, Lucha.
Yes, it's LUCHAAZ.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Thanks so much, Alejandra. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Alejandra Gomez is co-executive director of the organization Living United for Change in Arizona, or LUCHA. And we've been discussing how Latino voters and candidates are impacting U.S. politics during these midterm elections. On our next day's show, certainly look out for special coverage from the midterm elections. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.